Welcome, everyone. Welcome back to our podcast. My name is Xiao.
And my name is Simran.
And today we'll be chatting about the lovely gallstones. So gallstones are obviously quite a common condition, and it's definitely something that examiners love to ask about and surgeons love to ask about. I think it's a bit of a bread and butter when it comes to hepatobiliary conditions. So Simran today is going to have a chat to us about what gallstones are and talk to us about all the weird and wonderful gallbladder conditions. So let's start with Simran. Can you please tell us what are gallstones?
Gallstones are basically precipitated bile products. And bile itself is a fluid that's produced by the liver and it's stored in the gallbladder. And bile is made up of multiple components, such as bilirubin, cholesterol, fatty acids, bile salts, amongst others. So when we eat a fatty meal, a hormone in the duodenum of a small intestine called cholecystokinin stimulates the gallbladder to release bile. The gallbladder contracts and bile travels down a duct that leads into the duodenum, and this duct is called the common bile duct. Once it's in the duodenum, bile helps to digest the lipids and the food that we eat. Now, in some situations, there can be too much cholesterol or too little bile salts or just stasis in the gallbladder, so infrequent or insufficient contraction of the gallbladder that can then lead to the precipitation of these products that can then form into these solid stones, which we call gallstones.
Thank you for that. So it sounds almost as if like whatever's left in terms of juices, I guess, in the gallbladder, if it's left there for too long or if the gallbladder itself doesn't squeeze hard enough to get rid of all its products, then they can actually precipitate at the bottom and actually form a stone. Mm-hmm. So you were chatting about, you know, cholesterol as well as bilirubin potentially being the precipitating factors of gallstones. So I know sometimes this can basically result in different types. So can you tell us a little bit more about the different types of gallstones?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's mainly two different types of stones. The first and the most common is cholesterol gallstones. So that accounts for at least or about 90% of all gallstones. And this again can be either due to too much cholesterol, so it's really common in patients who have high cholesterol, or too little bile salts. And certain risk factors for developing cholesterol gallstones, one which I mentioned was the high cholesterol. And then there's the mnemonic, or just the saying, the five Fs. So fat, female, 40, fertile, fair. Those are your risk factors. And along with that, the oral contraceptive pill and the metabolic syndrome. So obesity, diabetes, hypertension, and a family history of gallstones as well. So that's for your cholesterol gallstones. The second type of gallstone is what we call pigment stones, and this usually results due to stasis and infection. And pigment stones are mainly composed of bilirubin and calcium salts. Some risk factors associated with these stones include increasing age, chronic hemolytic anemia, liver cirrhosis, and cystic fibrosis.
Oh, I didn't realize that there were the pigment stones were actually made out of bilirubin. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So with, you know, gallstones, and I guess with gallbladder conditions, I know there's so many weird and wonderful terminology, you know, especially, you know, like cholelithiasis, cholecystolithiasis, cholecystitis, and cholangitis. I mean, to me, they all sort of sound the same, but obviously there's a difference. And Simran, could you possibly break down the differences and tell us a little bit more about them?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Like the terminology is really similar. They all start with choly, and it's just like, what's the difference? In terms of breaking it down, so I like to think about it based on the location of a gallstone and whether or not it's infected or inflamed or not. So if you've got a gallstone in the gallbladder, it's not infected or inflamed. That's cholelithiasis. If you've got an inflammation of the gallbladder, that's called cholecystitis. Now, more than 90% of gallbladder inflammations are usually due to a blockage of the cystic duct by a gallstone. So the cystic duct is a small little duct that basically connects the gallbladder to the main duct that leads into the intestine. And so if you've got a gallstone that then blocks that sort of exit passage in the gallbladder, you can get this acute inflammatory picture, which is cholecystitis. So itis is inflammation. If you've got a gallstone stuck in the common bile duct, that's called cholecystolithiasis. One way I like to think about it is cholecystolithiasis has the D, like the letter D in it. So I think duct. And that's something that's a way that I remember it. And it doesn't have itis in the end. So there's no inflammation. It's just a gallstone in the bile duct. If you've got a gallstone in the bile duct that then becomes infected, that's called ascending cholangitis or acute cholangitis or acute ascending cholangitis. And a bit about that as well. So ascending cholangitis itself is a bacterial infection of the bile duct. And it most commonly occurs if the duct is obstructed with a gallstone, but there can be cases where there is no gallstone in the bile duct and there is a bacterial infection. So those are the four differences.
Thank you so much for that. I think I understand. I really like the cholecystolithiasis, how the D stands for duct. That's really clever. On the topic of cholelithiasis though, could you perhaps give us a little bit of information on how these patients could present and maybe some management?
Mm-hmm. So again, cholelithiasis is gallstone in the gallbladder. Usually these patients are asymptomatic, but if they do become symptomatic, it's usually right upper quadrant pain that's colicky pain. So it's called biliary colic. It comes and goes in waves. And it's usually triggered by after eating like a fatty meal. So postprandial pain, they can have associated nausea, vomiting, usually no systemic symptoms. In terms of the management, if it is diagnosed, it's usually just supportive management. You can give them pain relief, so simple analgesics. You can offer an elective cholecystectomy if they do have the symptoms or if they're at risk of developing gallbladder cancer. Elective meaning that it's not an emergency, it's optional as a preventative strategy to prevent any further complications such as cholecystitis, cholecystolithiasis, or gallstone pancreatitis. Gallstone pancreatitis is basically when the gallstone gets lodged in the pancreatic duct, and that can lead to inflammation in the pancreas.
And on the topic of inflammation, how does a cholecystitis present and sort of how does it differ from just the plain old gallstone?
Cholecystitis is basically inflammation of the gallbladder. It's most commonly associated with the gallstone getting stuck in a cystic duct. So it temporarily gets stuck and it causes the acute inflammation of the gallbladder. But there can be situations where there's no gallstone, but there still is inflammation of the gallbladder. In terms of how a patient would present in this case, they'll have right upper quadrant pain and it will be constant. So it's not intermittent, it's just persistent. They'll have nausea, vomiting, fever, they'll have loss of appetite, and they will generally look out unwell. And in these patients, because, as I mentioned, cholecystitis is commonly associated with a gallstone getting stuck in a cystic duct, they might have a past history of symptoms of cholelithiasis, where they have this intermittent right upper quadrant pain that comes and goes over a few weeks or months. Because of that common association. The classic sign that we see with on examination for a person who has cholecystitis is a positive Murphy sign. And that's basically elicited by basically applying pressure in this right subcostal area, basically in the right upper quadrant, and asking the patient to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. And as the patient takes a deep breath in, your fingers that are palpating that region will then touch the gallbladder, and that interaction will then cause pain. And you'll hear the person say, "Ouch, that hurts." And they'll probably, you know, again, just calm down. So in terms of, that's like the classic sign that you see on examination. If we were to do investigations, you'd see raised white cell counts. And on ultrasound, you'd see thickening of the wall of the gallbladder, or even edema around the gallbladder. In terms of how you want to manage this patient, it is an acute situation where it's acute abdominal pain. So you want to do your basic doctor's ABCD, obtain two large bore IV cannulas, take two sets of blood cultures, give IV fluids, and along with that, give some supportive care and analgesics, keep them nil by mouth, and also administer empirical antibiotics. So your triple antibiotic regimen, which is gentamicin, amoxicillin or ampicillin, and metronidazole. And then you want to call general surgery for to see whether this patient is suitable for a cholecystectomy or if they need to get a drainage of the gallbladder. The reason why we're worried about cholecystitis is because if the inflammation continues and there's no sort of treatment or management that's done acutely, it can lead to perforation of the gallbladder, which can then lead to inflammation or infection of the peritoneum and then can lead to peritonitis. So it is important to make sure that it is managed accordingly in a time-sensitive manner.
So it sounds like cholecystitis is a medical emergency. Mm-hmm. I don't think the same is with cholecystitis, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, cholecystitis is basically a gallstone stuck in the duct, since there's the duh. So could you explain how these patients present and a bit of management as well?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right, Chow. Again, it is as you mentioned, gallstone in the duct, and it is not a medical emergency because there's not an acute inflammatory event. It's just the presentation's different. So in this situation, you've got the right upper quadrant pain that comes and goes, so biliary colic, nausea, vomiting, which is similar to which other condition that I was talking about before.
I think that's quite similar to cholelithiasis.
Yep. The difference is that because you've got the gallstone lodged in the bile duct, you actually can't get the flow of bile into the intestines. And so that can lead to a buildup of bilirubin as well in the system because there's no sort of outlet for it. And so you get this picture of jaundice, pale fatty stools, dark urine, intense or mild itchiness, or what we call pruritus. And so that's the differentiating factor. You've got that obstructive picture of jaundice with the colicky right upper quadrant pain. And in terms of if we were to do LFTs, LFTs will show an obstructive picture, so elevated GGT and ALP and elevated conjugated bilirubin. On ultrasound, you can see a dilated common bile duct. And in terms of management, again, symptomatic relief, so giving them analgesia, giving them antiemetics if they're nauseous, and you can consider an ERCP, as well as an elective cholecystectomy if there is a risk of recurrence of gallstones. And in terms of complications, so with cholecystitis, you've got the gallstone in the bile duct. That can lead to ascending cholangitis, or again, an acute pancreatitis where the gallstone can travel down and then lodge at the outlet where the pancreas is.
So on the topic of ascending cholangitis, how does that present? And is that a medical emergency?
Yeah, so this is also another medical emergency similar to acute cholecystitis. Basically, you've got the classic Charcot's triad, which is the right upper quadrant pain, jaundice, and fever. And patients can also present with hypotension and changes in their mental state. In terms of the picture, so like LFTs will have a similar picture to cholecystitis. It's an obstructive picture, so elevated GGT and ALP and elevated conjugated bilirubin. Because there's an acute infection, you also have the raised white cell count and the raised CRP. In terms of management, so again, because they are acutely becoming unwell, you want to stabilize the patient. So you've got your doctor's ABCD. Give them two large bore IV cannulas, take blood cultures, ideally two sets, fluid resus, supportive care, so analgesia, antiemetics, giving them antibiotics, so your gentamicin, amoxicillin, metronidazole, and then you want to get the urgent general surgery or a GI consult for an ERCP. Some can also do a biliary drainage and decompression. So there's many like management options for acute cholangitis.
Thank you so much for that, Simran. That's a really nice comprehensive way to remember the gallbladder conditions. So just to recap today, we talked about what a gallstone is and the different types of gallstones. So the one to remember is cholesterol being 90 percent of most gallstones, and then the others are probably the pigmented gallstones. And then you had a really nice way of grouping the conditions. So you have cholelithiasis, which is where there is a stone in the gallbladder, and that can lead to the complication of acute cholecystitis. And that's basically when the gallbladder becomes inflamed and infected. And you also mentioned that some of them could be caused by gallstones, but a few of them, and this is good to keep at the back of your mind, can be acalculi. Then you had a chat about cholecystolithiasis, which is basically when the gallstone gets stuck in the duct. And this can potentially cause the complication ascending cholangitis. And just to remind everyone, ascending cholangitis and acute cholecystitis are medical emergencies, whereas cholelithiasis and cholecystolithiasis are not as acute. So that's all for us today. So feel free to message us if you listen and you think you love it, or perhaps there's something that you maybe don't quite agree with. We're always amenable to making changes. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope that you come back and listen to us in the next episode.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.